Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
And we welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com, our wonderful sponsors. I was in the live chat last night in Tampa for Jake Paul versus Mike Perry, which we will talk about on this very show. It's Chris Algieri, as always, full Florida man. I'm coming to you from Orlando, Florida at the Caribe Royale, as on this upcoming Saturday, I will be on the call for MVP Prospects show. Florida, baby. Chris, you're looking full Florida. I don't have that shirt, but the longer I stay here, I'm thinking face tattoo. I'm thinking I get maybe like a misdemeanor arrest, wrestle an alligator, and then get that shirt afterwards.
Well, number one, I'm dressed like this in your honor because you are here, and now we're going full Florida man episode. Number two, if you're going to be a true Florida man, if you're going to start fast, the number one thing you need to start with is meth. That's where the rest comes into play. Meth is number one.
Well, you start with the meth, and then you just take it from there.
That's when you wrestle alligators. That's when you, you know, you get a souped-up car. And,
like a Subaru?
If you want to go that route.
A lot of people are thinking the same thing when they hear Subaru.
Yeah, Subaru is there's a connotation to a Subaru.
I'm not going for that. Mm-hmm. I am looking at a body of water outside of my window. I don't know what it is.
Nice.
It could be an alligator in there.
It's definitely a fake body of water if you're in Orlando.
I love the Caribe Royale. I'm here for the week. I just came off of a weekend in Tampa, which is a lovely place. I've only been there for Yankee Spring training, which when you go for Yankee Spring training, you kind of stay in that area. You stay like where Raymond James Stadium is. You stay where Legends Field is. A lot of people stay in St. Petersburg. I was in like the downtown part of Tampa. St. Pete's cool. I've stayed at the Don Cesar before. Bob Canobio sprung for the Don Cesar.
Nice.
But I was in a different part of Tampa for this trip, for the Jake Paul one, where I love Tampa. Tampa was a lovely little city. Went out a few nights. Watched Jake Paul. Interesting fight. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I figured some people are interested in my Florida man activities. Tampa was fun. Now, I have a week in Orlando. I have about 3 days where I have really nothing to do. Like, so my guy Wade Plem is here. Boxing influencer.
Cool guy.
Yeah, we might go play golf. We might be able to get on a course in Disney.
You should go to, if you want to rent a car, come down here. Go to Mar-a-Lago. Go play with the Lynx over there. See if you can go.
Mar-a-Lago. Is that a Trump?
See a Trump sighting. Maybe go play some golf with him. Plum's really tall, right? Isn't he like a really tall guy? Plum's really tall.
He's huge.
Him and Trump can probably go whack it around a little bit.
I did want to start the show by saying like neither of us are resigning from our duties as hosts of Inside Boxing Live.
We both had COVID on air, and we still didn't relinquish our title. So
not only that, you cannot assassinate us. You cannot assassinate our character.
I mean, I've had some cuts on my ears before, but
nothing too bad.
We're not going anywhere. We're still young and strong, and we are here for the work.
Yes, let's get into it. The biggest news in the boxing world is Gervonta Davis, Vasily Lomachenko. Looks like the talks are off. The talks have stalled. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this, man. It was going way too smooth. Yeah. It was too much of happy parties between two parties in Top Rank and PBC that never see eye to eye, that never want to work together. It comes out from Igis Kilmas, who is the manager of Vasily Lomachenko. Vasily Lomachenko says that
Great guy, by the way. Love Igis. Good guy.
Right, yeah. He represents Usyk. He's the bridge between this Ukrainian brigade that we're seeing. I don't know if that's the right word. And what you see.
A contingent. Yeah. Yeah.
Contingent. He's the guy. He's the liaison. So he goes on a show with Steve Kim, or he talks to Steve Kim. Igis Kilmas says that Vasily Lomachenko does not have the motivation right now to fight in 2024. He's not up for it. He does not want to fight Gervonta Davis. He does not want to fight at all in 2024. It started off by saying that maybe at the end of the year he'd want to fight. Then it somehow morphed into he doesn't not want to fight in this year at all. Mike Coppinger follows up with Top Rank, and they say, yes, talks are completely off. They were going very smooth. Now we don't have this fight. The fight that I was very much looking forward to, the fight that a lot of fans were looking forward to. It looks like Vasily Lomachenko, Gervonta Davis, at this very moment, will not be happening in 2024, and that's a bummer.
It not only is it a bummer, it changes the whole landscape of 135. And we talk about 135 all the time. It's the best weight class in the sport today. There's a tremendous amount of super talented guys, legitimate stars, guys who are constantly in the media. And, you know, now that Shakur Stevenson obviously is a free agent, something that we've talked about a lot on this show. And this shakes all of that up. And it's really interesting. When I first heard about this, I'm like, oh man, I got to put my thinking cap on here because there's so many options now, you know, because you've got Shakur Stevenson, free agent. We don't know where he's going. No one really knows where he's going. Tons of options, obviously. He's one of the most talented fighters in the world today. And now he's rogue. He can go anywhere. And he's been talking. He's done the management promotional row, you know, the past couple of weeks. He spoke to everybody, you know, highly newscasted that he's talked to De La Hoya. And De La Hoya comes out and says things. And he said he's, you know, meeting with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. Obviously things, you know, didn't work out with Top Rank and their deal. So this is interesting because I thought that Shakur was really out of it because not out of it per se, but I mean, you're looking at Lomachenko and Gervonta Davis making a fight. And that's like two of the three biggest names in the weight class. Now they're tied to Dance. Where does that leave Shakur? You know, does Shakur have to go the Cepeda route? Does Shakur, you know, he's not going to get the Burncheck fight because obviously he's left Top Rank. So it's like, oh man, where does he go? But now, I don't know. The possibilities are endless. This is going to be an ongoing story, something we're going to be talking about for weeks, obviously. But very, very interesting in the most publicized weight class in the world today. This is big news, Dan.
Yeah, we will get to the Shakur part of it because I do obviously want to tackle the ramifications of it. But just in terms of what Lomachenko is saying, in terms of what he has every right to say this, like I'm seeing the duck word being thrown around. And if you want to go with what is defined as a duck, like, yeah, I can, if you could say that he does not want to fight Davis, but I will have Lomachenko in a different realm of fighter. I will put him up there with the veterans of this sport, a guy that has 10 plus years, a guy that has been at the top of his game. A guy, for the most part, has fought everyone. And if there's someone that deserves...
From day one, out of the amateurs.
Orlando Salida in his
second fight. Wanted a world title his first fight.
Right, we're talking like Gary Russell Jr. under five fights. I mean, his resume...
And whipped him.
Right. It, what I'm trying to get at is if there's a guy that deserves the right to kind of delay... He didn't say I'm retiring. He didn't say I'll never fight Gervonta Davis. He didn't say I don't want any part of Gervonta Davis. He said, I simply don't really have the motivation right now. He could change that. This could be a leverage thing. This could be, I want more money out of this deal, which I thought would come. Like, it was going way too smooth. And people were telling me in my replies, Dan, the reason it's going smooth, Lomachenko's a warrior and Gervonta Davis wants to fight. And when two guys want to fight, it can be made in days. Okay.
That's a nice thought.
Then once they really get to the negotiating table, as you know, Chris, that's when you can start getting a little bit greedy. And I understand that Lomachenko doesn't exactly always fight for the money, but he's 36 years old and he's looking for one last payday, just like any of us would, just like anyone does in any walk of life. They're looking for that one final push of income. He can do that with Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis needs Lomachenko more than Lomachenko needs Gervonta Davis. So is it a duck? By the definition, yes. But the motives aren't, to me, of I don't want to fight Gervonta Davis. The motives are of a guy that is 36 years old, is at the end of his rope. You saw the interaction he had with his father. So the only reason he fights is for his dad. He's no longer going for the glory, per se. So he just wants to sit out. Will we get it in the first quarter of 2025, potentially? Will we get it at the end of this year? I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I think there's a lot of factors that are going into this, but I'm not about to call Lomachenko a duck because I will hold out some respect for him because he is one of maybe four or five guys in the sport right now that can kind of do what they please in the sport. They've kind of built up enough credit. His credit score as a boxer is very good.
Yeah, and I'm going to counter you because he's 36. So your point about trying to make the most money possible, of course, that's what we do, guys. Floyd Mayweather said it best. If you're not fighting for money, then what are you doing here? We are prize fighters. And at the end of the day, when you're coming to the twilight of your career, you're looking for the biggest paydays possible. And that's definitely what Lomachenko was doing. But also motivation plays a key factor. I was a fighter, and there were times where it wasn't in me to fight. Obviously, my problem was because I was literally fighting with my promoter legally. And that sapped a lot of my best years and sapped some of my performances, actually. I didn't have the opportunity to be like, you know what, I'm not going to take this fight because, you know, I'm not motivated to do it. I fought anyway. And, you know, it hurt me and hurt my career, hurt my standing. But, you know, Lomachenko can do that. But also, he's 36. He's running out of time. I don't know how much time he has to be like, you know what, I'm just going to take the rest of the year off when we're in July.
That was what a lot of people were upset about, Chris.
It's the biggest money fight possible, and you're going to say,
like, if you don't want this fight now, Loma, if this can't motivate you, Javante Davis, who's top three face of in boxing, then retire then.
Who's streaking right now?
Right, retire then. That's what a lot of people are saying, which is a little too drastic. That comes from the Lomachenko haters out there.
Which is crazy to me. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of Lomachenko haters. That always blows my mind.
We went over that. Like, it's because of, you know, he was hyped up early on. He was behind that HBO.
He tried to fight for a world title his first fight. He was a world champion in three fights. Like, come on, you don't have to tell me.
Like,
I know. All right. Like, I'm sorry. I'm getting aggressive because it's Lomachenko.
You know us. Like, we always look for pro. We're a pro fighter podcast, so I'm never going to slander these guys. Like, I don't dislike any of the fighters out there. Even Lomachenko was taking shots at my family business. Who said CompuBox is just two guys slapping cardboard? Or I did my own CompuBox, me and my dad, after the Teofimo fight. I didn't hold it against them. Still like them. It's just how I roll. But there are a faction out there that say if you're at age 36, like you said, Chris, he's getting up there in age, and from what he has told us, the only motivation he has left is to become undisputed at lightweight. He had to go right back to the drawing board after he did not get the decision versus Haney. This is one way to do it. He has one of the titles, right? Lomachenko have one of the titles?
Did Kambosos have the title? Yeah, he does. No. Yeah, it's Loma, Berenchek, Shakur, and Davis. Yes.
Okay, so he wins this. He wins this. Oh, he's vying for a Javante Davis fight. And then you get the Shakur fight. So now we can talk about what you're talking about with Shakur. Shakur Stevenson is a free agent right now. Shakur Stevenson is very much online talking about, I want the biggest fights. This is my time. Okay, Shakur, step up to the plate. You can make this fight easily. You can make this fight with Javante Davis. You're a free agent. You can sign with the PBC. You can demand it. Will PBC, in turn, want to put Javante Davis in the ring with Shakur Stevenson when I know that they have a six-fight deal? Do they want to make that the first or the second fight of a six-fight deal with Shakur Stevenson for Javante Davis, which is not an easy fight? But
now,
Shakur can push the envelope here. The stars are aligning. It's like the case of a guy where you talk so much and you let us know exactly what you want. Okay, Loma's out. You're a free agent. Javante Davis is waiting there. It's one of the biggest fights you can make in boxing. Do it.
Well, do you remember we had that news headline that said that Lomachenko was willing to step aside to allow Shakur and Davis to fight first? Remember that? Like, that was like, it was weird. It was a weird topic. And I don't know if any, Nick, we were even like, is that real? Is that like a real statement? Is that a real? Yeah, it's probably fake, but now it doesn't seem as fake. And now it seems like, wait a second, maybe there was mutterings that Loma didn't want to fight the rest of this year. And it's not so much that he's taking a step aside, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, like I camp was hard, really put my work into the Kambosos fight, showed out, did what I needed to do. I'm just going to wait until kind of the dust settles in the weight division because I'm Lomachenko. And then I'm going to step in and take, you know, the winner of said fight. So Yeah, I agree with you that the stars are aligning for Shakur to step right in and fight Davis. Now, does that happen? Almost absolutely not, Dan. I cannot see that happening. You want to talk about how difficult
right now?
You want to talk about how difficult it is to make a fight? How about how difficult it is to make that fight? That fight is. I mean, even Shakur said, you know, he was talking about the deals that were available. He's like, the end goal is going to be to fight Tank Davis. So is that going to be the first fight on his new deal? Probably not. Almost definitely. Yeah,
it just does not make good.
That's just not the way boxing works.
Unfortunately, it is not, but there has been.
It used to.
Well, there has been a shift in the last 18
months. In Bob's day, in old Bob Canobio's day, the best fought the best when they were available, and oftentimes they were super young.
But we don't live in that era.
No, we're not.
We kind of are, Chris, because the last 18 months, we've seen Ryan Garcia fight Gervonta Davis. We've seen Ryan Garcia fight Devin Haney. We've seen
that was
Usyk
good.
Fight Fury. We've seen Benavidez fight.
Yeah, but Usyk's 153 years old.
Crawford,
so it's
that was
different.
Like 5, 6 years too late.
It's not. We're seeing the best fights. We're not seeing young guys fighting each other. Two young undefeated guys.
Yes, but with that being said, I don't think it makes a lot of sense yet. As badly as I want to see Gervonta Davis fight Shakur Stevenson, say in September or by the end of the year, I just
makes
don't
sense for who?
Lining up.
I think it does. Makes sense for
who? It
doesn't
make sense. It doesn't make sense in terms of, say, Shakur signs with PBC. They're going to put him like right in there with Gervonta Davis. That's not protecting your investment at all. And like I said, Gervonta Davis, he's in the middle of a 6-fight deal.
You're protecting one side of that investment.
Yeah, Gervonta Davis, but then like,
yeah, you're making an absolute superstar. Well, no, either way, whoever wins, you're making an absolute superstar.
Right, but if you have
they would probably I think they would probably hope Shakur wins because you got Gervonta who could fight anybody. He sells. He's going to be popular even with a loss. Shakur though, he needs to beat top guys. And if you beat a Gervonta Davis, like you're only getting big fights now. And that's all you want. You want all the smoke. You want to show how good you are. You got to beat everybody. But Gervonta can fight anybody, anytime, and people are going to tune in because he's that exciting. Very, very interesting. Very interesting ways this can go.
Yeah, but when both guys are signed to the promotion, that's a promoter protecting both investments. That's them hedging their bet. If PBC signs Shakur, then I can see the fight happening in the middle of the deal. I just don't see it happening first. I could be wrong. This isn't like Saudi throwing a bucket of money at them and really incentivizing them to take the
fight.
But
has PBC worked with Saudi at all yet?
No. Saudi's not involved with PBC at all. I'm just saying we're seeing those fights be made on the Saudi side because they're just throwing tons of money at them and telling them this is what you're doing. Like PBC doesn't have that, so they are going to have to be a little more crafty.
Do it in-house, yeah.
Right. Crafty with their investments, sign Shakur, have him fight someone on the PBC roster at 135. They're pretty deep in that one. Or go to 140, pretty deep there. And then build up to a Gervonta Davis fight.
I'm excited because this is the most exciting weight class in the world, and now the opportunities are a lot bigger. I just hope we're not sitting there and watching barren wasteland and guys wasting their time and things not getting done because of deals. I hope the guys fight each other because that's a very real pitfall that we can fall into now is that now everyone Shakur is a free agent. Lomachenko is not fighting. Davis is, you know, a hard fight to make because of money like that. Nobody fights, which is very, very real and scary to think about. It's a lot less for us to talk about, which sucks.
And here's the thing with Shakur. He's 27 and Gervonta Davis is 30.
Yep.
Like, they should be fighting right now. Like, what are we waiting for? Like, maybe another year, year and a half. When
Shakur's not taking a stance like he's looking for more building fights. He's not like he's taking the stance like I'm ready for anybody right now, or at least I hope he is. Especially when it comes to signing the dotted line. Gervonta definitely is. I'm here. Let's go. I want all the smoke. I want all the big names, and I think he's absolutely ready for it. Obviously, but right. I think. Yeah, I mean, listen, this guy's, for everyone listening at home, there's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes, under the table, in the meeting rooms that we never ever talk about, never ever hear about. This is going to be an ongoing issue, something we're going to be talking about a lot for the next weeks and months.
I don't think it's fully dead. I think Lomachenko is is mulling everything over, and I think there's a money aspect to it. If it is dead, then Gervonta Davis has some options, whether it's Shakur Stevenson, which I think is option number one. It should be number one. There's the Isaac Cruz rematch, and there are some other names at 135 that he can go after. But I think it's...
I had a dream I was fighting Isaac Cruz last night, literally. I'm like, I'm walking around a hotel, like I'm walking around a hotel fight week. Like, all right, well, this is the fight. I can't believe I'm doing this at 40 years old. And it was crazy. It was so vivid. And I mean, all the feelings of a fight week. Very, 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 very odd.
But it's crazy that you and him were once, like, he's 140 and you fought at 140. But if you guys did that,
he's also like a very Ruslan-esque fighter. You know, like he's a forward.
He's so much
banger.
Shorter than Pradvodnikov,
he's so
right?
small. Prodigov is pretty short, but no, he's definitely shorter than Prodigov.
Chris Algieri versus Isaac Cruz
in your dreams,
like for another world title. I was like, oh, in my dream, it was funny. I'm talking to my friends and my family and my team. We're like, it's a chance for another world title. It's a title you never lost. Like, I was like, oh,
okay. It's a Saudi deal.
I don't remember. There was no money involved in the dream. There was no talk of that. We were too far. It was fight week. Like it was like we were in the host hotel already. So the deal was done.
If you did come back and fight and you won a world title, would you quit the podcast?
No. No, absolutely not.
Would you pull out? Would you resign?
Absolutely not. I would podcast from the fight hotel. Like, all right, guys, on the way of the weigh-in, sucked out, but feeling strong.
Views would be through the roof. Mm-hmm. I feel like that hasn't really been done. It's been being done right now in a lot of different other sports, like Draymond Green. Has a podcast, like Micah Parsons has a podcast. He's on the Cowboys. There isn't a lot of that going on in the boxing world where guys.
Damn, I'm gonna do this podcast until I'm like literally an old man, like until something new comes along.
Chris,
I'm an old man. Like I listen. I'm gonna call fights. I'm gonna do a podcast until the day I die. I'm never gonna retire. I'm never gonna stop working. I love this sport. I love calling fights. Calling fights is my favorite thing to do in the world. Yeah. I will do that till the day I die.
I'm so excited to get back behind the mic on Friday night on DAZN.
I will do it until I Joe Biden myself out.
until there's a coup, until there's like a, me.
We're not a political
your
podcast,
brother.
Guys. Don't get hurt.
Yeah, we don't actually. It's in the news. It's in the news right now. So like me, your brother, someone from like whatever network, and we are like, I don't know, man. Chris seems like he's declining cognitively. I think it's time we're gonna get him out of there.
We should get him a cognitive test before every show.
Now that I'm on this Florida man trip, I'm day. By the time this comes out, it will be day five of my 10-day Florida trip.
I can't wait till you change your whole outfit. Like the Yankee hat goes away. You're wearing a shirt like this. You got like beads on your neck. It's gonna be great.
Let me put these on. Now that I'm on day five of my Florida man excursion of just straight boxing, and I'm seeing some things line up for me. Some cool gigs coming my way in the upcoming months and just booking LA and now I just feel very, 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 very much in the boxing schedule. Like I always felt like I was, obviously, but now it's like on another level. Like 10 days in Florida doing nothing but boxing, upcoming travel, like looking ahead at the schedule, like this is it. This is what we do. We're married to the game. And yep. I love doing the show. I think our listeners, or from what I hear, love us coming to you. But I'm in it now, and you're in it, and I don't think we're going anywhere right now. So that's a pretty cool feeling. It's a lot of boxing, man. It's a lot, and I love it.
Now we are riding high, and for you listeners, we truly appreciate all the love that we get all the time, especially when we're on location and people come up to us like, oh, we listen to the show. We love your show. Like, Dan, literally, you're going to see this now, especially because you're traveling and doing other fights, but nonstop, every show I travel to, people are like, man, love the pod. Yeah. Keep going. So
got a lot of voicemails too.
We're never wrapping this thing up. This thing is awesome.
Well, we got some voicemails. We'll probably the next episode. We'll air them because we got a bunch. Let's get into what happened this past weekend in Tampa. Jake Paul knocks out Mike Perry in round six. If you were riding,
which was your call. Good job, Dan.
I am on a hot streak in terms of my bets. Jake Paul knocks out Mike Perry in round six. It looked like two different weight classes in there. Jake looked huge. Perry all week long was trying to get up to 200 pounds. It was a fun atmosphere. I hadn't been to a big Jake Paul fight in a while. I called his last two fights, which were the Borland guy and Andre August, which were smaller venues here at Kareeb. Wasn't like the big arena. So I was in the arena Saturday night. First off, the crowd is young. I would say the average age was like 22. Girls everywhere. Girls everywhere.
And Tampa.
In Tampa, girls everywhere.
Tampa's got a lot of hot women. I think I mentioned that on a podcast before.
They do, bro. I went out Friday night. I went to this bar Friday night in the middle of like downtown Tampa with an old friend, and I was like, "Whoa, I'm moving here." Anyway, the arena was packed early, and it was a good, lively crowd, and it was a fun fight week. The promotion was a little wacky, but I expected that. Like Mike Perry had a good account of himself. In the promotion, didn't really have a good account himself in the ring. It was fun. It was fun. It was a fun fight too, back and forth. You know, some good moments. Undercard was pretty solid, but Jake Paul gets the win. I thought he looked pretty good. His jab was pretty consistent. That's what won him the fight, in my opinion. But he picks up another win, and he calls out Alex Pereira afterwards, which was like, whoa. Alex Pereira, the light heavyweight champion of the world. Like, even Ariel was like, you talking about Alex Pereira? So, all in all, I thought it was a fun night. What'd you make of Jake Paul getting his 10th professional win?
Well, I was almost right because he dropped him in the first round. And and Perry looked all of what I expected him to look. One, 40 pounds lighter. Two, completely flat-footed and open-faced. I don't think he put his hands up ever in the fight. Just eating shots. And the fact that Jake went six rounds with him is a testament to how not good he is. That's my assessment, because the guy was literally there to get hit with absolutely everything and anything. He should have stopped him the first round, at least the second. He literally dropped him bad in the second round with a right hand, like Ashe on the chin. The first one was like kind of like a cuffing gorilla shot behind the ear. Boom, I'm 40 pounds heavier than you, knock you down, boom. But the second round, he hit him with a nice straight right hand right in the chin. And that put him down. Perry's tough, but I mean, so outgunned, so out of his depth in that. Yeah. It looked like that the entire time. He had no answer for absolutely anything. Just walking around the ring. Just walking around the ring, just getting clubbed and beat around the ring. But I mean, you know, listen, it's a show, right? It's entertainment. Yep. I look at Jake Paul, especially at this phase of his career, where he's completely giving up of doing that thing that he said last year. Where he's like, I'm going to go the hard route, grassroots. I'm going to fight real boxers, like a regular fighter, and I'm going to work my way up to a world championship. And then he does two fights like that, and he goes, oh, these suck. And then he calls out Mike Tyson. So now we're back on the original game plan for Jake Paul, where he's going to be calling out.
He's trying to become a world champion, Chris.
Let's stop with that, okay? He's handpicking opponents that cannot beat him. Mike Perry couldn't beat him if he had a bat. Let's be honest. And then you're fighting a 60-year-old Mike Tyson, and then you call him Pereira, which was the classic, like it's the Ryan Garcia move, the post fight, call out David Benavidez. You know, like you're just gonna just name a name, you know, that people are gonna be like, oh my god, we're gonna talk about it. You're not, dude, you're not fighting Pereira. Like, first of all, Dana White's not gonna let it happen. Second of all, he's gonna knock your head into the fifth row. But also, it's just like, you know, as it is, you're fighting a 60-year-old in November. Quote unquote, probably going to end up fighting Chavez Jr. That's really what's going
to
happen.
Well, we'll get to that too. I did want to ask you about Pereira because Anthony Joshua tweeted about Pereira and said I would like to see him in boxing, which I feel like someone put Joshua up to that, and just like I feel like it's like a Turkey move, Saudi Arabia, get Pereira in there. He already has Ngannou fight there once, but I want to ask you, like, from what you've seen of Pereira's stand up, can that translate to boxing? Can he have some success? I know he is the guy right now in the UFC, and he seems invincible there. But we've seen this time and time again. The striking isn't the same once they put the bigger gloves on in boxing. The punch resistance isn't the same. Can Pereira make that jump more successfully than some of these other MMA guys?
He would be just like, he has no stance, no chance against any even top 15 cruiserweight. But against Jake Paul, absolutely. You know, he was a world champion kickboxer, world class, you know, stand up fighter. Obviously, the kicks are a big part of it, but the guy has lights out power in the left hand. That left hook is gnarly. He ices guys with punches that don't even look hard. So He's huge. He's actually gigantic. That's another thing. Jake has never fought anyone near his size. So,
well, he did. He fought Tommy Fury, and he lost.
And he lost, right. A guy who's actually his weight class. But, yeah, I mean, he actually had to get down to that. Jake's a very, very big guy. He's a big, athletic dude, and he's fighting guys that are a lot smaller than him. Even Fury is smaller than him. Fury, what was that fight, 85?
Yeah, 185, yep.
Yeah, Jake's 200 pounds. Jake fought 200 pounds last night, and he walks around like 215, 220.
When you talked about him, he should have got Perry out of there in the first or second round. It looked like that was going to be the case. But listening to Jake after the fight, he was coming down from 225, 230 for where he was for the Tyson fight. It took him two tries to get to under 200 for this fight at the weigh-in. I think he gassed out a little bit. I think it was too heavy in there. I think he admitted it himself.
I noticed that at the weigh-in. When he does that weigh-in thing where he says totally dialed, and everybody's like, why is his voice like that? Why is his voice like that? Oh, he does that on purpose. No, he doesn't. It's when you get really sucked out, your voice goes hollow. I've been there. Your voice goes hollow. It literally, my coach used to be like, oh, you made weight. Your voice is hollow. That's when they know, like, you've gotten that far down. So that wasn't by design. He's sucking weight to make 199. And, you know, he's a very, very big guy at 200 pounds. So,
yeah, that was the reason why I think he didn't get him out of there. But it was an entertaining night. It was an entertaining fight. The crowd was really into it. It's entertainment. We know that.
Yeah, it's entertainment, like I said. Yep.
If you're going for entertainment value, it was there. It was a sold-out arena. I don't know how the pay-per-view numbers did. I thought it was fun. It's something different. If we're getting the big fights in boxing, there's room for Jake Paul to do this. I don't know what he does next. I think he's getting a little bored of the MMA guys. And the route of trying to become a legitimate boxer seems like he's getting a little away from that. The Tyson fight is there. It's supposedly signed for November. We'll see what happens with that. But another Jake Paul fight in the books. And I enjoyed it because, you know, honestly, I was there. Did you see the knockout? Knockout of the year we had on Saturday night.
I was going to segue for you before you brought that up. One thing that I really like about what Jake is doing, and again, like you said, it's entertainment. It's entertaining. Fighting Mike Perry, that's entertaining. You know, don't pretend you're taking over the division or you're going to be a world champion. But listen, it's fun to tune in and watch the fights. It's a nice little slobber knocker back and forth fight. Cool. I enjoy that too. But he does put on good shows where he has absolute good boxers on the cards. He's got Amanda Serrano. He had what you're going into to talk about, one of the knockouts of the year on the undercard. There was good fights on the undercard. And I think that's really important to mention about what Jake Paul is doing. Yeah, he's not going the traditional route trying to be a world champion. And it is entertainment. And he's at the top of the card. But he's actually putting together good cards now. And he has a show next week, MVP, where he's got other young prospects fighting. Like, I love that part of it. His ability to help boxing is there. And sure, if he does these fights that, as far as I'm concerned, are sideshows, you know, his fights, the rest of the card's good. And I'm tuning in for that. Awesome. So Shadeja Green, who's a very, very good fighter, was on the card. Amanda Serrano, who's is one of the best female fighters who's ever lived, is on the card. You've got young prospects. We're going to talk about Sylvie and Body. So, yeah, I really, really appreciate that aspect of it.
Yeah, I've gone to bat for him numerous times because I just agree. What he's done for Amanda Serrano, he's done for women's boxing. What he puts these guys on, and he runs club shows, which I've been a part of. So, one last thing, though. Did you see Conor McGregor's tweet about
Jake Paul?
About Jake Paul, and then he goes and fires Mike Perry. But this tweet, this might go down in the record books as one of the best or just funniest tweets I've seen in a while. Jake Paul is the biggest piss bag I've ever seen in my life. 40-pound weight difference, juiced out of his head, still shitting himself in there. You could never. Then he calls out a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. He went in, and then he fires Mike Perry. because Jake Paul is technically an owner of BKFC right now. That's the fight I think that needs to be made for Jake Paul. It's the number one reason I think he got into boxing, was the one-day fight Conor McGregor. McGregor still fancies himself as a UFC contender. When that wears off, maybe in a year, he's got two more fights left on his deal, McGregor. When McGregor finally realizes that he can't compete with the elite in the UFC, he's going to fight Jake Paul in boxing. There's a reason he's tweeting. He's mentioning his name. There's a reason he's acknowledging Jake Paul's existence. Before he steps out of the fight game, Conor McGregor. He will step into a boxing ring with Jake Paul and make a boatload of cash, and will be his golden parachute, just like Lomachenko is looking for his. McGregor, Jake Paul, is we're all watching that because that is a legitimate chance for McGregor to do what everyone seemingly wants to see, is knock out Jake Paul.
Sorry to burst your bubble. That fight never happens. He already has a golden parachute, buddy. He's got a 60-foot yacht. He doesn't need a golden parachute.
You're telling me he doesn't want to make $40 million more in one night?
I don't think he cares. He just sold a liquor company for however hundreds of millions of dollars. He's about to sell his beer company for. He doesn't need to fight. He's not going to fight any legitimate people ever again.
You don't think he's going to fight Chandler?
No, that fight's never happening. I said that when it was first assigned. He is a blowhard. He goes on Twitter. He's a Twitter king. Yeah, he's good on Twitter. It's hilarious. That piss bag comment was hilarious. But no, he's not fighting anyone legitimate ever. So let's put that to rest. But I will say this: hire Mike Perry back because he is awesome at BKFC. He is my favorite bare knuckle fighter I've ever seen. Like he's made for it. Bring him back to that. He's so good at that because he can walk in with his hands down. He doesn't care about his face getting hurt. He doesn't care about bleeding or breaking his nose off his face. Bring that guy back. He's so much fun.
I saw him
fight him. Conor should fight him, actually.
Well, I think they're building up towards that, too. I saw Perry in the fighter hotel this morning. He was pushing his own luggage, face just destroyed, just like, yeah, I gave it all I got. He was hilarious all week. I had never really got
He's him. Awesome. I like him.
I didn't really follow him that much because I'm not a huge UFC guy. So I knew of him. I knew he was Crazy Man. Obviously, he's in BKFC. He's the face of King of Violence, whatever his name is.
Crazy Man, Florida Man, very, you know.
He was awesome all week long in the promotion. Mm-hmm. He was great in the interviews. I thought he came off very funny. I thought he could match wits with Jake Paul, which is not easy to do. I think him and Jake.
I thought he beat Jake in terms of that, in terms of matching wits. He had. I guess Jake was cutting a lot of weight too, so he wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't sharp.
He wasn't sharp. Wasn't on top of his game. But yeah, Mike Perry, I thought, had a really good account of himself. If outside of the ring, I wish he would have pushed Jake a little more. I thought he could have been there. The distance, if he didn't get stopped, or if he put up a little bit more of a fight, then it would have been an A-plus week for Mike Perry. Talk about A-plus performances. Lucas Badi with the KO of the year of Ashton Silva. A one-punch, just unbelievable knockout.
It was three punches. It was two right hands and a left hook. It was gnarly.
Gnarly knockout. He falls face first onto the canvas, Silva. It was the knockout of the year. The arena was... their collective jaw-dropping inside of the arena. Yeah. Lucas Badi, who was down on the cards, was losing every minute of that fight, was getting outlanded 101 to 39. The 39th punch was the most important one because it drops and stops Silva, who is a highly touted prospect, signed to MVP. One of the most brutal knockouts you'll ever see.
Someone very knowledgeable at the sport said that they were not impressed with Silva when they saw him. Because he was someone that I was thinking like, oh, you know, like this is an upcoming prospect and he's fighting another really tough guy. I know Body. He trains up in Canada with a buddy of mine. And I knew about him. He's come down here to spar. He sparred a bunch of our guys in our gym. He actually was coming when I was going. I never got a chance to actually work with him. But he's a talented guy. When I heard that Silva was fighting this guy, I was like, man, Silva is really taking a risk here. This guy can fight. He's got a lot of knockouts. And I like this. Another reason I like what Jake Paul's doing. He's mashing up. Silva's his guy, right? Silva's a Jake Paul's MVP guy. Yeah. Signed him and he's bringing in a very, very tough guy to fight him. I thought that was like really interesting that they were, you know, making that matchup. And this is what we get. When you make tough fights, sometimes things don't go to script. And things did not go to script for Silva and MVP promotions that night. But hopefully they snatched up Body and they can put him on their cards in the future.
Well, Body now wants to fight Floyd Schofield because it was supposed to be Floyd Schofield versus Ashton Silva on the Tyson card.
That wouldn't have went well either, by the way.
Which I thought was a very interesting piece of matchmaking. Like, I like Silva as a kid. I called a lot of his fights. I got to know him and his whole team. I thought he has a lot of talent. He's very fast. He has great boxing ability.
But my
one knock on him is that he kind of keeps his head on the center line. And it's something he said he wanted to work on.
And his chin's way up in the air.
Right. It's something he said he's wanted to work on, talking to him. And that's what came back to bite him in the butt. And that's why he fell face first, because he did not take his head off the center line. But shout out to Lucas Body, who now should get the Floyd Schofield fight, should get some huge fights. He's a top 15, 135 pounder. And shout out to Ashton Sill for taking this fight. He could have taken anyone. No one is exactly clamoring for Ashton Sill to fight a top 15 guy right now. He could have fought a top 40 guy, got some more experience, and then went into that Schofield fight on the Tyson card. So it was the knockout of the year right now, clubhouse leader. It was an amazing moment that we had.
Well, let's be honest, Dan. He was going to lose to Schofield too.
Schofield's
good.
Yeah, Schofield's very good. I think Schofield's just ahead of him in their development. Like, I think Silva is can bounce back. I don't think he should fight for at least 6 to 8 months. He can bounce back because I think he has a lot of boxing skills. But that was a brutal knockout, and that, you know, there's a lot that goes along with that. That was a tough loss for MVP. That was a tough loss for Silva, but I think he will bounce back. Amanda Serrano, co-main event, absolutely outclasses and shows Stevie Morgan that there are levels to this game. Gets her first stoppage in years. That was I knew that was going to happen. I mean, the writing was on the wall. Stevie Morgan there was barely any footage of her. Stay busy fight for Serrano. She's not going to fight Katie Taylor at 140 pounds. Serrano gave up her IBF title at 126. Because she's no longer going to be fighting 126. She's either going to be fighting at 140 from here on out. That fight last night was at 140. Or at 135. Or just big fights for Serrano. It was nice to see her back in there. Get that stoppage. 50th pro fight as a female fighter is absurd.
She looks small in there, though.
She looked like I saw her at the Boxing Writers Dinner in early June. And that was when the fight was still on with Tyson. And she was jacked. And I think she came down a little bit from. I think she was under 140.
Mm-hmm. She's not a 40 pounder. Because everyone listening, Amanda Serrano, she was a world champion at 118, 122. She's fought at 126 recently. She beat Heather Hardy at 126. I mean, less than 2 years ago. And you know, she's. I mean, she has power. She's like legitimate power that we really don't really see in women's boxing. So her ability to move up in weight classes has been otherworldly. So even when she's fighting at 135, 140, she is always the smaller woman in the ring. And she looked small last night, but her power speaks for itself.
Right. And she's going to fight Katie Taylor on the Mike Tyson card November 15th. So finally, we get the rematch that we all want to see. Serrano.
You mean the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. card?
Well, let's talk about Julio Cesar Chavez. He was the first fight of the night against Uriah Hall, who I saw all week long, who was just a specimen of a man. Went in there without any, like, protective gear on his he just went in with shorts, Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
Not the best, most aesthetically pleasing fight. Look, they're fighting in slow motion at times. Chavez Jr. gets the win somehow. I thought Hall might have squeaked it out. A draw would have been there. But, you know, Hall's not a boxer. He's 39 years old, and I'm not going to fault him. And he just, you know, he got paid.
He looked like he showed up and said, you know what, I'm going to get a paycheck. I can, you know, I can get it. I'm good enough where I can get in there and do it. He didn't like. I saw him at the media workout, and he's just like tuning around, like ding, 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 whatever. Give me my paycheck.
Really
this guy
have
sucks.
Much of a, right. He doesn't really like. He's not a loudmouth guy. He kind of has this nonchalant, just cool mentality.
Well, no, he's your martial artist. He's very respectful. Yes. Great guy. Right. Great guy. Great fighter too. Really, really good MMA fighter. Excellent tactician. Good striker. But he's much more of a kicker than a puncher. But he didn't. I don't think he looked bad at all. I thought he looked. He looked good. I just think that he kind of took this fight like he. I think he looked at Chavez like this guy's not that good because he's not.
It looked like an MMA fighter with boxing gloves on versus a guy that hasn't fought in 4 years. It's exactly what it looked like. Chavez gets the win, and I caught up with him afterwards, and he. And obviously, the headline was that he wants to fight Jake Paul, but. He said first, I want the champions at Cruiserweight. He mentioned Gilberto Ramirez. He mentioned Opatai.
Stop.
Then
stop,
he said,
stop.
But I also want to fight Jake Paul because look at Jake Paul's opponents. I'm better than all his opponents. I can give him distance.
I don't agree.
You don't think Chavez is better than any of the guys that Jake Paul has fought?
No, I don't.
Who's better than Chavez that Jake Paul has fought?
He lost to Anderson Silva already.
I know. But I'm mostly more talking about... Is Chavez better than Tommy Fury?
No. Definitely not.
I don't know. I think he is.
Chavez is... You're losing sight because of the name. Chavez...
Well, they kept calling him a legend all weekend.
He looked horrible on Saturday. Uriah Hall almost beat him. Yeah. Uriah Hall has never boxed a day in his life. The guy wanted to throw kicks in there and still almost won. Let's stop. We need to stop with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I don't know. I think they wanted Chavez to look spectacular and then really build it up. The crowd, I mean, Ariel was like, you guys want to see Jake Paul versus Chavez? Crickets in the arena. And Ariel,
well, because like, you said there's 22-year-olds from Tampa in there. Yeah. But, you know, Mexican fans are going to still come out for Chavez.
If Chavez got a knockout and you say you want to fight Jake Paul, I think the crowd would be a little more into it. But it was six rounds where a lot of people in the arena were going to get their food and drinks and taking selfies and recording stuff. But that was one of the fights on there, too. There was another one between Tony Aguilar and Corey Marksman. Marksman got the win. That was a rematch from their MVP prospects fight that I called.
That was a decent scrap. That was a fun fight. I enjoyed that fight,
That was a good one. So all in all, fun night. It was an experience. They did a great job of getting fans in there for it. This was a replacement fight, keep in mind. And it was about 18,000 at Tampa. But the Jake Paul train rolls on. We're going to end the show with Junto Nakatani. Junto Nakatani gets a first-round stoppage of Vincent Astolabio. We're talking about pound-for-pound placement now for Nakatani. It was his first defense of his title at 118 pounds. Dude is a beast. I mean, first round stoppage, body shot. He is riding quite the wave right now. And I just wish more fans know about him. Like, he's not in a way. He's not Bam. But he's just as good as both of those guys. And he could potentially fight both those guys.
Well, we should talk about him more so fans do know about him, because he is phenomenal. So we're having a bit of a I don't know if we want to call it a resurgence, but it's a surge in Japanese fighters. And we're hearing about them a lot more. Partly is we're hearing about them a lot more because we care more about the lighter weight classes now. A lot on the strength because of Bam Rodriguez and because of Naoya Inoue. But Nakatani he brings everything that the Eastern fighters bring. When I say Eastern, I mean Japan. They got the warrior spirit. They got great technical proficiency. They are warriors, and they are always in great shape, and they bring it. So he's got that, but he's also training here in the West. So he has a little bit of that Western level change, athleticism, different kind of rhythm to him, which makes him just such a nightmare for all these guys. I called a bunch of his fights for Top Rank. He is phenomenal, and he can punch. He's long, he's tall, he's strong, he's technically proficient, he's got great endurance, he's got great power. That Maloney knockout, it was knockout of the year last year. I called that fight, and I mean, he was top to bottom fantastic in that fight. He dropped Maloney a few times. Maloney's a very, very tough guy, and it was one of those things where you're looking at this like, man, Maloney is so tough, he's getting hit with everything, and then boom, KO. Like, I mean, face down, crazy knockout, scary knockout. Nakatani is one of the best fighters in the world, and people don't really know about him yet. We're going to. You're going to know about Junto Nakatani very, very soon, because he does everything well, but he's also really entertaining. He's not just a guy who is a tactician and can punch. He is a very entertaining fighter. Who did he just knock out that beat Donaire? I'm drawing a blank at his name. Very, very tough Mexican fighter. We were calling it while we were in Vegas. When he beat Donaire.
I have his Martina. I don't have a box record. I have a bodies box record. Nakatani, who did he knock out?
Yeah, and Junto Nakatani's last fight he did in Vegas was on the other card of Crawford and Spence.
I have it up right here. He knocked out Santiago?
Yeah, Santiago. Who had beaten Donaire. Maybe Donaire was on the other card. Regardless, doesn't matter. Very, very impressive win that night, and he looked awesome and just like iced him with a 1-2 down the middle. And we're all going to hear about him. We need to talk about him more on this podcast, because I think the fans over here are really going to like his style, and he's going to be around for a long time. And he very well could be mixing it up with the guys that I said are bringing attention to these lower weight classes, right, the Bam Rodriguez, the Daiwa Inoue. We need to pump this guy up so people understand who he is when he does finally step in the ring with one of those guys.
That's why I think
he's collecting all of Naoya Inoue's titles now.
Yes, and that's why I think we're going to hear from Junto Nakatani. More people are going to know about him because he's in a very good position right now. He's a champion at 118 pounds. He says I can go and unify there. There are some names there, but it's not the big one. There's Bam Rodriguez at 115 pounds. Bam can go up to 118, and they can make that fight between Bam Rodriguez and Junto Nakatani. Then there's the Inoue fight. Inoue is at 122 pounds. Nakatani could go up to 122. He mentioned Inoue by name. That is the fight that I want. If I'm not going to unify at 118, I want Inoue. Inoue versus Nakatani. Nakatani versus Bam Rodriguez. Those are two of the better fights that you can make in the entire sport. Can't miss fights under 126 pounds between great punchers, great technicians. It's like a boxing fan's dream. Like a real boxing fan should be enamored and then should be just so excited about those potential fights between Bam, Nakatani, and Inoue.
And on top of that, I'm going to say something crazy. I can see Nakatani beating both those guys. He has the length, the body type, the style to beat both of them. He is that good. And I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying I could see how he could beat both of those guys, both Bam and Inoue. And you know how big of a fan I am of both of those guys. And we talk about him on this show all the time. We love Bam here. We love Inoue here. Nakatani's that good, guys.
He is. He really is. And I'm really excited about that. And hopefully he gets those big fights and he can show the world exactly what he's got. We just showed the world exactly what we got on this episode. A good one. Boxing. We're getting closer and closer to the Crawford card, which is August 3rd in Los Angeles, which is going to be a very, very big night. This upcoming weekend, I think I totally forgot about this fight. Chisora is fighting. Who's Chisora? I already forgot already. Chisora is fighting. What's his name? End of the show. My mind is blank.
Derek Chisora is fighting.
Joe Joyce.
Who is he fighting? Joyce. Right.
That is a fight.
I couldn't remember because I don't care.
That is a heavyweight fight. That is a fight, if I ever seen one. That is this weekend. It's kind of a little bit of a lighter weekend. But we'll be back, though, later in the week with another episode. Chris, do you have any final words for our loyal listeners that make it to the end of these episodes?
Do people make it to the end? How is our commitment?
If they do, then they're in for like the weirdest parts. Of
yeah, the weird stuff, the fun stuff happens at the end. I feel like a lot of our listeners do
for me to
all
do in Orlando. Please let me know.
Yeah. Well, you should make a trip down to Boca, dude. Come on, rent the car. It's 2.5 hours. Stay at the Algeria compound. Get to hang out with Clyde Boy.
Well, here's the thing: as I have some stuff to do, like
they added it on now. They gave you work.
I feel like, yeah, we have fighter meetings. We have a few things planned. Play a little golf, but there's something going on in Orlando out there, and doesn't involve meth. I'm all ears, but that's our episode this week. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have some Orlando shenanigans for me to get in.
And we out. Don't smoke meth.
'Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit laurelpark.com.